Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Lamed, and we actually got to Kuf Lamed, we got to the Mishnah, but we need to talk about Tosfos Dei Dibur a little bit, because it's a major Shas Sugya, and we really just ran through at the very end the concept of Toch Kedei Dibur. The Gemara was mechalik between something done Toch Kedei Dibur and done Liachra Kedei Dibur, and the Gemara made the definitive statement that Hilchsa Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, except two exceptions, Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin. So we need to talk about the rule of Toch Kedei Dibur and about the exceptions a little bit. So the rule itself, if you look at the Rashbam, Hilchsa Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, the most fundamental question we have to ask is, why is Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami? Meaning, if I say something and then I say something else a second later, why is that? Why do I have the right to alter what I said originally? Once I've said something, just when I do an action, I can't alter the action by trying to do a contradictory action, right? So why by words does it undo what you have said previously? So says the Rashbam, Hilchsa Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami, Kol Shnei Dvarim Shad Motzi Mipiv Zeh Achaz Zeh B'Toch Kedei Dibur Shesiim Dibur Rishon Hischil Dibur Achron. Anytime a person says two things, one right after the other, B'Toch Kedei Dibur, meaning Toch Kedei Dibur of finishing the first statement, not beginning the first statement, but finishing the first statement, he begins the second statement, Lo Chashvin Alei Nimlach. It's not called that you're changing your mind. El Arehu Ki Ilu Amar Shnei Dvarim Biyachad. This is the Rashbam's approach, that whenever you say two things within Toch Kedei Dibur of each other, it's as if you're speaking out of both sides of your mouth at the same time. It's as if you're saying both things at the same time. The only problem is you can't say two things at the same time, so you say them consecutively, one right after the other, because we're simply physically incapable. We're not the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we can't say two things at the same time. But that's how we view it. V'im shneim yicholim litvos, and therefore, says Rashbam, you have the following set of rules. If shneim yicholim litvos, if both of them are able to be nitvas, they could both be correct. Kigon harezu t'mur sola t'mur shlamim, like you say t'mur sola and then say t'mur shlamim immediately. So then they're both correct. Sell it and bring with half of the money in Ola, with half of the money in Shlamim. Because you have kavanah for both of them. The only thing is, you practically couldn't get both statements out of your mouth at the same time, so you said one right after the other. That's if they both fit. What if you have a different situation? One of them has the ability to be nitfas, and the other one is worthless. So then yitfas ha'echad, the one that the statement that has the ability to be nitfas, that will be binding. Ve'echad k'man d'leisei, and the other one will be as if it doesn't exist. Kigon yerusha matana le'echad lashon yerusha batav lashon matana kona. Like you use lashon of yerusha and matana to the same person, right? Like in our Gemara. So the lashon of yerusha is batel, the lashon of matana is kona, because one of them can be nitfas, one of them can't. You can't alter laws of yerusha. That's the laws of yerusha determined in the Torah. So what you probably mean is matana, because matana you have the right to do. You don't have the right to do yerusha. V'im shneim sosum zeza, third possible situation is that you say two things. Either one could be nitfas if they were said alone, but you say two things that completely contradict each other. Like we had previously, where you say, I'm going to sell it to you exactly measured, give or take. So which is it? Is it exactly measured or is it give or take? You could mean either one, but you can't mean both because they contradict each other. You say, I'm going to rent something for Yid Beis Dinar for the whole year, one dinar for each month, and it turns out there are 13 months in the year. So in that case, where either one could be true, but the two contradict each other, so that's where you can have machlokas. Some are going to say you listen to the first thing you say, some say you listen to the last thing you say, some say we're not sure which one to listen to, and therefore it's a suffix in yachloku. V'yeshalichachar muksuk, and then there's a fourth shita that you follow whoever's muksuk. V'sham pirashi dinei, and you have to learn that sugya to see what the real din is in that case. V'hecha dahadbe behedya toch kedei dibur damachlozar nibi akol modim davi chazara. And then a fifth possible circumstance where a person is completely chozer. There's a fourth possible circumstance where a person is completely chozer b'toch k'dei dibur, so then it's a valid chazar. So b'kitzur, the Rashbam says, the idea of toch k'dei dibur is that when you say two things within toch k'dei dibur of each other, you're trying to say both at the same time. Elamai, you're incapable of saying both at the same time, and therefore we have the following set of rules. If both of them can be nitfas, then they're both nitfas. If one can be nitfas, then only the one that can be nitfas is nitfas. If they both theoretically could be nitfas, but not at the same time because they contradict each other, we have a four-way machlokas what to do. And if the second one is clearly a chazara on the first thing you said, then you're chozer, then we assume that you have the right to be chozer. That is the approach of the Rashbam. If you look at Tosos, Tosos does not view it the same way. Says to, meaning, just based on that Rashbam, is Tok de Dibur Kedibur Dami Adinda Raisa or Adinda Rabbanan? So Pashtus says it's Adinda Raisa, that meaning Tok de Dibur is really that you're trying to say two things at the same time. So when we view that midor raisa, that's what you're trying to do. It's not just the takana derabanan, that would be the pashup shot. If you look at Tosfos, top Tosfos, on Kuf Chav Tes Mem Beis, Pirusha Benetam, Dilekachamer Kedibur Dami. You know why Tok Kedibur is Kedibur Dami? Kedei Sheilas Tamul Rav, Hainu Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Lefishek Sha'adam Osa Schora Im Chaveiro. Because when a person is doing a deal, a business deal with his friend, V'yira Rabbo, O Gadol Emen Abachachma, Lo Yitin Lo Shalom. And then he sees his Rebbe, he's not going to greet him. Shem Yitin Lo Shalom Lo Yuchalachzer Bem Mechcho. Because if he does greet him, if he takes the time to greet him, then he's not going to be able to be Chozer from the Mechach. And therefore the Chamim instituted this takana that you have the right within Toch Kedei Dibur, within this shir, these couple of seconds that it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, you have the right to be chozer, just to give the person the opportunity to be able to greet his Rebbe. What you see from there is Shalom Alecha Rebbe is not already Acher Kedei Dibur. Shalom Alecha Rebbe is still Toch Kedei Dibur, because the whole point, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is to give you time to say the word Shalom Alecha Rebbe. What you also see, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that if you say something immediately, not just B'toch Kedei Dibur, but Mamish, immediately, you just continue to talk consecutively without stopping, that you have the right to be Chozer Midoraisa. Midrabanan, they needed to expand it to Toch Kedei Dibur, because he's only explaining why you need this time period of Toch Kedei Dibur. He's not explaining how one word has the right to be mevatel the previous word. That, he says, that would have happened. He said, yeah, the right to be chozer on your mekach, that you would have been able to do anyway. But not if you would greet your Rebbe. If you didn't greet your Rebbe, you'd have the right to do it. But if you go and greet your Rebbe, then you'd have ruined your chances. So the Rabbanan had to expand the time period in order to give you the chance to be able to greet your Rebbe. Clearly, though, the din of Toch Kedei Dibur, at least, is a din to Rabbanan, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Fraktosos, the Kashalari, Perek Basu, the Nedarim Tanya, we have the following brice of the Nedarim. Mishish, Lechol, Betoch, Beisel, Benesalif. Kumidumash, Lo Shemes. Person has a sick person in his house, he's waiting for them to die, he assumes that they're going to die, and the person faints, the Chola faints, right? So you figure, ay, the person died, Vikara. So the Karov tears Kriya, because he assumed that the person died. V'achar kach meis. And then right after he tears Kriya, the person actually dies. Meaning at first he wasn't dead, then he tears Kriya, then the person dies. So lo yatsi yedei Kriya. You weren't yatsi Kriya, because you didn't tear Kriya on a dead person. You tore Kriya on a live person at the time that you tore Kriya. V'amra b'shumim pazi, amra b'shumim levi, lo shanu ela achar kedei dibur. Aval toch kedei dibur eino chozer v'koreya. But that's only achar kedei dibur. But if the person died Toch Kedei Dibur of the moment you tore Kriya, then you're not Chozer V'Koreya, then the Kriya worked. Now, Frekt Tosfos, Vasal Noshai Chaitaima, if the Peshat is like Rabbeinu Tam, that the whole idea of Toch Kedei Dibur is that you should have the ability to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori, what's that got to do with Kriya? Right? You did the Kriya and then the person died, you should have the opportunity to kill the relative? Well, what's it talking about? I mean, you should have the opportunity to do what? The person died. The Toch Kedei Dibur of the Kriya that was already done. So it has nothing to do with anything. It doesn't fit Rabbeinu Tam's whole explanation. So it says, yeah, Rabbeinu Tam would tell you that it's Tam, it's a low plug. That really, you're right, the whole Svara, the whole Takana de Rabbanan of Toka de Dibur doesn't fit in that case, but nevertheless, it's a low plug. The Rabbanan said it applies everywhere. Not everybody agrees with these two possible, meaning there are more than these two possibilities of how Toch Kedei Dibur works. The Ramban writes in the name of the Ravid that the Rabban were Masakin Toch Kedei Dibur because by Kriya Shema we know that you're allowed to be Mafsik up until Toch Kedei Dibur. So since by Kriya Shema you're allowed to be mafsik up until Tal Kadei Dibur to say Shalom, to be Shaul Mepnei HaShalom, Shaul Mepnei HaYira, and Meshem Mepnei HaShalom, so it's Mutal Hafsik in order to say Shalom L'Rabo for Kavod. So therefore they were Mesakein that once we allowed that during Kriya Shema, the Rabbanan pattern, it's like a major low plug, a low plug to all the rest of Halacha, starting with Kriya Shema. Not based on Shalom Alecha Rabbi Mori that you're going to need to say during a business deal. That's not so common. But since we have such a halacha by Kriya Shema, so I guess they thought it wasn't right to be able to stop when you're talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam and have Tal Kadei Dibur count as if it's one hemsheikh and not when you're doing a business deal. So it was one major low plug based on the din of Kriya Shema. The Ran in the Dharma says that Chazara Tal Kadei Dibur works min haTorah, that it's not a din to Rabbanan, that it's a din min haTorah, because we assume that a person doesn't have Gemir's Das until Tal Kadei Dibur has passed. That we assume even though people say things, very often people say before they think completely. It's shocking. But sometimes people speak before they think, and when a person says something, so sometimes it takes a few seconds till they really come to peace with what actually just came out of their mouths. So that's the idea of Tal Kadei Dibur, that you only have the full Gemir's Das at that point. Now, the Achronim point out, that wouldn't fit with Kriya either, because the Kriya has nothing to do with saying anything, but okay, so what? So it's a low plug, so you're going to have to say the same answer. Rav Chaim Ozer in the Achi Ezer has the following Chakira. He says, what's the idea of Tal Kadei Dibur? Do we say that within Tal Kadei Dibur it's a hemsheikh of the original Maisa? Or do we assume that, no, the Maisa is done as soon as the Maisa is done. Your Dibur is done as soon as your Dibur is done. It's just that you have a Zuchus Chazara. You have the opportunity, you have the ability to be chozer on what you said, but it's not a hemsheikh of the original Maisa. And his Raya is Kriya, this Kriya case, is since it's so different than all the other cases in Shas, it's used as a raya to pretty much any chakira you're going to have in Tal Kadei Dibur. So he uses the Kriya case as a raya. He says, if you think about the Kriya case, that after Kriya, within Tal Kadei Dibur, the person dies, that you yotze, the Kriya, that's a raya, that it's got to be a hemsheikh of the original Maisa. That it's called that you're still doing the Kriya, the Tal Kadei Dibur. Even though you've done it already, it's considered that you're still involved in the act of Kriya as long as you're B'tal Kadei Dibur. Because if it were just about a Zuchus Chazara, so what are you being Chozer on? That you have the right to go back? What? To go back on your Kriya? So then do another Kriya. Meaning it doesn't make sense. The idea of Zuchus Chazara wouldn't fit the Kriya case. But it makes a lot more sense if you're going to say that it's a Hemsheikh of the original Maisa. Now the Ri doesn't like Rabbi Matam with this Tal Kadei Dibur because of Tosos elsewhere in Shas also attacks Rabbi Matam. Not over here, it's just a shorter version of Tosos that appears elsewhere. It appears in Baba Kama, Defying Gimel, so it's a major discussion in Tosos. But the Ri attacks Rabbi Matam also from the case of a guy who, let's say, it wants to be Mefir Nidre Ishto, so he's got to do B'toch De Dibur, right? So he says, if the whole idea is that you should be able to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori, what's that got to do with being Mefir Nidre Ishto, right? So if you're going to say it's a Takanas Chachamim, not just what's it got to do with it, if it's a Takanas Chachamim, like Rabbi Natan wants to suggest, that the whole thing is purely a Takana Midrabanan, so Hafaras Nadarim is a Doraisa. How can the Chachamim go and give you the right to be made for Nedarim when Hafaras Nedarim is in fact the Din D'Oraisa? So that's the kasha that the Ran actually asks on the Rabbeinu Tam. So the Shita Mekbetzes is Matarit that the Chachamim have the right to be Okar Davar Min HaTorah Mishum Migdir Milsa. They have to say some form of Akiras Davar Min HaTorah. Good. So that's the idea. Now, in general, there's Machlokes Rishonim. Tosfos over here mentioned that how much is Tal Kadei Dibur enough to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Now, there's actually a Machlokes because the Gemara in Baba Kama says Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori, which is an extra word. So it's four words as opposed to three words. It's probably totally on what the Girsa is in Baba Kama, and it's in fact Machlokes Achronim LaHalacha. The Taz Paskins that the Shir is Shalom Alecha Rebbe Mori. Magen Avraham says Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So it's probably just totally in a Girsa of what you're going to be goreis. Also, some people are slow talkers, some people are faster talkers, so you have to figure that out also. Is it based on how fast you talk, or is it based on how fast an average person talks? This Divrei Yecheskel raises such a suffix. Okay, that's the long and short of Tal Kadei Dibur in general. Now, our Gemara said that there are exceptions. The exceptions are Chutz mi avodah zarah v'kiddushin. What does that mean, avodah zarah and kiddushin? What are those exceptions? So Rashbam says, avodah zarah, that if you're hitvis or hiksadavar l'avodah z'kochavim, that you're matvis something to be used for an avodah zarah, o betoch k'dei dibur chazer bo, and then you're chazer within k'dei dibur, afilu hachi nesra. Nevertheless, it becomes aser. You can't go back on being matfis something as an avodah zarah mishum chumra d'avodas kochavim because of the severity of avodah zarah. Ugdamrin nami b'avodas kochavim shaketz t'shaktenu d'afgav da'asi medina latera aser. Right, that this is the idea that we have extra chumras by avodah zarah. So once you're matfis something for avodah zarah, it's already labeled as something that's disgusting, and we can't go back and you can't retract on the label of avodah zarah. Kiddushin, what's the idea of Kiddushin? A person's Mekadesh and Isha, the Rashbam says, in front of Edim, and then B'toch Kedei Dibur, he says, you know what, let that be a Matana rather than a Kiddushin, rather than Kesef Kiddushin. So we say, too late. She's already your wife, she's Mekadeshes, and therefore, she's Mekadeshes L'chumra, meaning not L'kuli, you're going to have to do another Kiddushin, but at least as a Chumra, she's going to be Mekadeshes. Now, the Rashbam says it's only Chumra Midrabanan, and Midaraisa, even by Kiddushin, you have the right to be Chozer Toch Kedei Dibur. Tosus is bothered because there's a Beferish Gemara that says there's another Gemara in Nedarim that also gives exceptions to Toch Kedei Dibur and has a longer list than our list of two that appears in our Gemara. Right? We say just Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin. The Gemara in Nedarim actually says Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Dami Levar Me Avodas Kochavim Umegadef Umekadesh Umegaresh. So Tosus says, yeah, it's really the same list. Megadef is an offshoot of Avodah Zarah, because it's a rejection of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Megaresh, you know, Hukash Havaya Liyetziah. So Megaresh is an offshoot of Mekadesh, really. The two are really related. Megaresh and Mekadesh are not unrelated. So he says that's why the list of four is really just boiled down to a list of two, but it's really the same list. Tosus also disagrees with the Rashbam as to what it means Avodah Zarah over here, right? The Rashbam says that you're maktzeh something, you're matfis something for Avodah Zarah. Tosus says no. Hatfas is not shaykh by Avodah Zarah. He says no. What it means is that in the last skinny line, Tosus repeats that Avodah Kachavim Sharmalei Eliata the Chazer Toch De Dibur De Loma Hani Midi. That someone says Eliata and then the Toch De Dibur he's Chozer, so it's too late to be Chozer. And again, the idea is that because of the Chumras Ha'Isir, because Avodah Zarah is so severe, we're not going to allow one to be Chozer Toch De Dibur. Meaning, if you have to plug it back into the rules of why Toch Kedei Dibur works, meaning if you assume that the svara of Toch Kedei Dibur is that a person sometimes doesn't think before he speaks, and he therefore doesn't have a full gemiras das at the moment that he speaks, so you can understand that when he's going to say something very chamor, when he's going to commit to something that's extremely severe, like avodah zarah, so Mestama, he thought about it first. I mean, you don't just say something like that without thinking about it. So you assume that he did have a Gemiras Das before he said it. If you assume it's a Takana Drabbanan, so you're going to say, the Rabbanan aren't going to be so nice to you to give you the right to be Chazer Toch Kedei Dibur when you're going and you're messing around with Avodah Zarah. Right? So you understand, you have to plug into each Svara of how Toch Kedei Dibur works, why it shouldn't work by Avodah Zarah or by Kiddushin. Okay, new Mishnah. Today's Daf. Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, says the Mishnah. Ha'omer ish ploni yorshani b'makom sheyesh bas. If a man says that I want ish ploni to be yoresh me, and he happens to have a daughter, so the daughter is in line to yarshim. He doesn't have any sons. He has a daughter though. The daughter is in line to yarshim him, and instead he says, you know what? I'd rather for ish ploni to be yarshim me. Ish ploni could be my brother, my cousin, whatever, someone else. Biti tirshani b'makom sheyesh ben. Or he says, the man has a son, and he says, I want my daughter to yarshin me, I don't want my son to yarshin me. So basically he's going down in the level of Yerusha. He's saying, instead of going to the first level, the person who's supposed to receive the Yerusha, he's going down to the next level of people who perhaps would receive the Yerusha if that first level didn't exist, but the first level does exist. And he's trying to bypass that first level relative. Lo amar klum. So that is totally invalid. You can't change the Torah's laws. The Torah's laws of Yerusha are such that Yerusha goes to who the Torah says it goes to. You can't bypass those people. But Rabbi Yochum and Broka Omer, Rabbi Yochum and Broka adds, Im Amr al Misha Ra'u Liyarsho, Tzvarav Kayamin. if you go and you add in someone who's ro'i to yarshin you, and we assume that what this means, Rashbam says, hasha mashmalan, what we're supposed to assume this means right now, is going to ro'i liyarshu b'mitzas, k'gon ben ben abanim. We're not that you're bypassing a level of relative. Let's say a man has four sons. So amongst his four sons, really, the Bechor should get Pishnayim, everyone else should divide, the rest should get Piechad, right? Should get one portion. But this man decides his youngest son is his favorite. So he decides he wants his youngest son to get everything. That's what he's doing. Not that he's bypassing and saying, I want my daughter to get it instead of my sons. No, sons are supposed to get it, and sons will get it, but he's going to change the proportion that the sons are going to get it. So then, Dvar of Kayam, and then his words are binding. Valmisha ain't roi lo liyosho, ain't Dvar of Kayam. But if he goes to someone who's not roi to yashanim, then ain't Dvar of Kayam. And then the words are in fact not binding. Fine, so that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. The Tiferes Yisrael, in the back of the Gemara over here, points out on this idea of Almisha roi liyosho Dvar of Kayam. He says, "Nihide eni yachol lakor nachla b'lashon lo yirash, tahayi lo kumatana." He says, "You can't be oker nachla from one son to another by saying, I don't want my bechor to yarshin me, or I don't want one of my sons to yarshin me, because that's a lashon of matana. That's a lashon of, I'm sorry, masal mashkos b'torah, because that really is directly against the Torah. But b'lashon yirash mahani, meaning if you're going to use a positive lashon, I want the youngest one to receive all the yerusha." So then it works, because that's not considered directly contradicting the Torah. Even though you're accomplishing the same, you're trying to accomplish the same thing with both Lashonos. When you say, my son number one should not yarshin me, those are words that are directly against the Torah. When you say, my youngest son should yarshin me, well, that's exactly what the Torah wants. You're just changing the proportion, and your words are not directly opposed to the Torah, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka allows for that. But everything is in how you say it, says the Tiferes Yisrael. You have to say it in such a way that on Misha Roy Liyarsho, you have to say that I want him to yarshin, not that I don't want the others to yarshin. But if, again, the person is someone saying Roy Lo Liyarsho, if a person has sons and he says, I want my cousin to yarshin me, or I want my brother to yarshin me, well, then that doesn't work. You can't say such a thing. There's a discussion that when the Rambam quotes this halacha, he doesn't only talk about ben abanim. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, he writes that the hanchala of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka is shayich with the ben abanim, or bas ben abanos, or ach ben ha'achin. Let's say a man doesn't have any children, but he's got brothers. So he decides that one of his brothers should receive all of the Yerusha. So the Rambam says the same din, same as ben abanim, same as you can pick which brother you want to receive all the Yerusha. Says the Ketzos, how does that work? The Yerusha of brothers always has to pass through the father, right? There's no idea of being Morish brothers directly. The Ach is Yoresh derech aviv, he's Yoresh through the father. So how could you be Koveya Nachla for an Ach ben Achim, since he's not the one that's really Manchil to the Ach, it's the father that's Manchil to the Ach. So how can you go ahead and be Koveya the Nachla that your brother is going to get? He's not getting it from you. He's getting it from your father. So the Ketzos is Miyashev, that since Sof, the Ach is the one who's Manchil the Mamon, meaning at the end of the day, the father's not around, and the money's going to the brother. So since practically, at the end of the day, the brother is the one who's actually being manchil the mamon, therefore we give him the right to be manchil. Rabbi Kivega has a totally different approach. He says, no, what you see from this Rambam is that Yerusha Sa'ach does not work through the father. The Yerusha Sa'ach is Yerusha Atzmis. It's an inherent Yerusha that goes directly. And he says, meaning the Ketzos Kasha is so good, he says, that the answer is Eino Chinami. The answer is that you misunderstood Yerusha Sa'ach. The Yerusha Sa'ach actually does go directly. Major discussion Acharon. Rabbi Kivega has many rayas, goes back and forth. But okay, this is the Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka that we've really been talking about for several dapim already. But now we have it directly in the Mishnah, that if a man has many sons or many daughters, that he can decide which one, if he only wants one or two to get, and others not to get, he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to shift the Yerusha in that way. He's only not allowed to shift the Yerusha outside of that first level of Yoresh. Says the Gemara, time with the Achar Makom Basum Bas Makom Ben. HaBen Ben Abanum Bas Ben Abanum Svarv Kayamin. Now, what does the Tanakama hold? Tanakama said that if you have daughters, you can't decide your Yerusha is going to go to your brother. If you have sons, you can't decide the Yerusha is going to go to your daughter. Right? What does that imply? that implies that if you have only daughters, you do have the right to decide that Yerusha will go to one daughter as opposed to other daughters. Basically, meaning to say, it implies exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha said. When the Tanakhama says you can't shift it to someone who's not in that first level of Yerusha, the implication is you can shift it to someone who is in that first level of Yerusha. Ema Seifa, but then the Seifa comes along, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, Omer Ramamar al Misha Roy Liyosh, with Dvarv Kayamin, Hainu Tanakhama. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha is saying the exact same thing as the Tanakhama. Where's the Machlokas here? V'chi tema, so maybe you're going to say, no, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, afilu acher b'makom bas u'bas b'makom ben ka'amar. Maybe you're going to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha to be saying a much bigger chiddush than we thought. Maybe what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha is really allowing you to do is not only choose which of your sons is going to get a higher proportion of the Yerusha, but actually be mavir the nachla from your sons entirely and give it to your cousin, your brother, somebody else. A next level Yoresh, some other Yoresh. Maybe that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha is allowing. And that would obviously be in stark contrast to the Tanakhama. Tanakhama would never allow that. Va'atanya, but we have a brisa that says not that way. Rabbi Shmuel b'no shel Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha's son, reported, lo nechleku abba v'chachamim al acher b'makom bas, u bas b'makom ben, shalom ar klum. That Abba agrees to the Chachamim, he says. Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha agrees to the Chachamim that if you try to be Mavir the Nachla away from somebody, right, away from the Bas B'makom, right, away from the daughters, away from when you don't have any sons, away from the daughters to another relative, or away from the sons when you do have sons to a daughter. So that for sure does not work. Alma nechliku, you know where the machlokas is? Al ben ben abanum, bas ben abanos. Sha'abam yirish, chamam lo yirish. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan Broca's own son said that the machlokas, chachamim and his father, was about shifting within the sons, about giving it to one son more than the others. That's what the machlokas was about. The only thing is, that's not what's implied in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, the Tanakhama seems to assume that shifting within the sons is perfectly fine. That there's no machlokas, that the Tanakhama agrees exactly to Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. So we're left with our question. What in the world is the machlokas in our Mishnah? So says the Gemara, two possibilities. Iba yis'ema, midikamar lo nechleku, mechlal de Tanakhama savar nechleku. Yeah, who says lo nechleku? Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says that his father doesn't disagree with the Tanakhama about this. But apparently other people thought that his father does disagree with the Tanakhama about this. Meaning not every time that his son says what his, you know, that his son reports what his father said, doesn't necessarily mean that that's for sure what the father said. Father had Talmidim, the father had other people that he spoke to, and it could be that the son misunderstood the father. We've heard of such things, that there have been miscommunications in human history between parents and children sometimes. So not even though the son may have known the father best, may not have, but he may have, so it doesn't necessarily mean that no one could disagree in terms of what the father actually said. In general, though, we try to avoid such machlokasim about what did so-and-so say. Those machloksim are machloksim that we don't like so much, because our Rashi, in Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin, Rashi, very well-known Rashi, tells us that although there is a concept called Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, that in general, when you have two sides of machlokas, we can assume both opinions are correct, nevertheless, when it comes to machlokas about what somebody said, you can no longer say Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Meaning, if machlokas is something asur or something mutar, el veil devil kim chayim, there's enough room in Torah for it to be both logically both mutar and asur. They could both be correct, each looking from a different perspective. But if machlokas is, did Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha say mutar? Did Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha say asur? Well, he only said one thing. He didn't say both, right? He only really held one thing. So then, one opinion is correct, the other opinion is incorrect. So we'd really rather not say this. We'd really rather not say that Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, and others disagreed as to what the Tanakhama held. Meaning, it's not really a disagreement about what Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha held, actually, over here. It's a disagreement as to what the Tanakhama held. Right? So that we'd really rather not say that. So Iba Yisema, we have a second approach. What's the second approach? The entire Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. There is no machlokas. There is no Tanakam over here. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha's son referred to machlokas, his father and the Chachamim. The Chachamim are not the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Right? That's not the issue. The Tanakam of our Mishnah holds exactly like Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. There happens to be some other Shita out there that holds that you're not allowed to distribute the Yerusha amongst your sons. But our Tanakhama holds you may redistribute Yerusha amongst your sons, or if you only have daughters amongst your daughters. Our Tanakhama is exactly like Rabbi Yochum Broka. V'achikatani, this is how our Mishnah should read. Ha'omer ish ploni Yerushani b'makom sheish bas. If a man says that I want my first cousin or my brother to yarshin me, even though he has a daughter, or biti tirshani b'makom sheish ben, he says he wants a daughter to yarshin him even though he has a son, lo mar klum. Well, then such a statement is absolutely worthless. Habas ben abanos uben ben abanim. But if he has a daughter amongst other daughters that he tries to realign the Yerusha, or a son amongst other sons, im amar yirish kol nechasav tevarav kayam, if he wants that child, that one child, to yarshin everything, fine. Why is that fine? She Rabbi Yochanan omer im amar mishroi liyarsha tevarav kayam. Because Rabbi Yochanan said that you're allowed to do such a thing, that you're allowed to realign, redistribute the Yerusha based on what your preference is, as long as you stay within that first level of Yarshim. So it's all the same author, it's all Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, v'chein Amar Rava, halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel and Rava all say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. We follow the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Like we mentioned before, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka based on this Gemara, because the Gemara comes to a very clear halacha conclusion that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Fine, says the Gemara weiter. Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. What's the svara for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? What's the reason? What's the basis of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Amar Kras, he says it's pasuk. Pasuk says, "V'haya biyom hanchilo esbanav." Right? Pasuk says, "V'haya biyom hanchilo esbanav." The rest of the pasuk is, "Eis asher yelo lo yuchal levaker es ben ha'ahuva al pnei ben asnul ha'bechar." That you're not allowed to give the ben ha'ahuva, the son of your more beloved wife, who's not your bechar, the pishnayim, instead of the son of your less beloved wife, the snua, who is your bechar. If you have a bechar, you have a bechar, and that's the kid that's going to get pishnayim. But the pasuk says, "V'haya biyom hanchilo esbanav." Hanchilo esbanav makes it sound like it's not something that happens automatically. Hanchilo esbanav makes it sound like you're being manchil to your children. You're doing something. You're giving it to your kids. So apparently that phrase in the pasuk, if you ignore the rest of the pasuk at least for now, that phrase in the pasuk seems to imply HaTorah nitna nasan rishus la'av lahanchil kol mi sheyirtza, that the Torah gives rishus to the father to be manchil to whoever it is that he wants to be manchil. That's the limud from the pasuk. So says the Gemara, Amar le Abaye, hami lo yuchal levaker nafka. No, we already know that. We already know that the father has some level of rights from the pasuk lo yuchal levaker, from the end of the pasuk where it says lo yuchal levaker. Well, where do we see the father has rights from the Yuchal Levaker? Doesn't that tell me the father has no rights? Lo Yuchal Levaker? Says Rashbam, Mi lo Yuchal Levaker nafka, Dahachi mashma b'chora, Lo Yuchal Lahavar min b'chora lahanchil acherim. Aval shar nechasav, Belo chelik b'chora, Yachal lahanchil echad mi banav. So he says, yeah, Lo Yuchal Levaker tells you what you're not allowed to do with the chelik b'chora. But it doesn't say about not being allowed to do anything with the chelik pashut, with all the rest of the Yerusha. So a man has 10 sons, the Yerusha is going to be divided into 11 different parts, and the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim, so that second portion of the Bechor is going to get, okay, not allowed to touch that. But the rest, sounds like the Pasuk is giving you the right to be Manchil. Now I'm not sure, I didn't have clarity on this, I didn't have a chance to look around Rishonim too much. What if you are Manchil, everything to one child, and then Mela, when it comes time to divide the Yerusha, there's nothing left for the Bechor? Is that okay, or do we say no? You have to envision it as if you were going to divide it properly, figure out how much the Pishnayim of the Bechor would be, leave him with that Pishnayim portion, and then you can readjust the rest. I'm not sure which way it works. My inclination is the first way, but I'm not 100% sure. So, okay, but maybe we'll see Raya's as we go on in the Gemara. I didn't have a chance to look so carefully. So anyway, so that's the Gemara's Kasha is, just getting back into the Gemara over here, the Gemara's Kasha is, how can you say that the whole drush of Rabbi Yochanan Broka is from the phrase, V'haya biyom manchil esbanav, which implies that the father has koach to be manchil to whoever he wants to be manchil? Don't we see it's from a different phrase in the pasuk? It's from lo yuchal levaker. So you don't need the phrase days to teach me the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka? Answers the Gemara, Haomi bai lelecha detanya. Now we need the phrase lo yuchal avaker for the following brisa. Abchanan amar mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Abchanan says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, ma tamalomar lo yuchal avaker. Why does the Torah say lo yuchal avaker? Meaning, after all, the lefisha nemar v'hayu biyom anchilas banav. I'm sorry. Why does it have to say luyuchal levak? Rashbam adds in over here. V'aloksiv basrei habuchar ben asnuah yakir. Right, the pasuk is going to say in the very next phrase that the buchar, the ben asnuah, is getting the pishnayim. He's the one that after makir is the buchar. So what's the phrase luyuchal levakir as ben ha'huva? What's that adding? Because the pasuk already says vayu biyaman chilos banav. The pasuk already says that you have the right to be manchil your children. Sheyachal valodinu. I might think the following. Uma pashut sheyafa kocho. I might think the following svara. If a pashut has yifoy kovach, right, he has enhanced ability. Shenotel baroy kibumuchsak. That we know a pashut even gets roi, not just muchsak, meaning even stuff that's owed to the father, that the father never had his hands on, and we discussed whether milveh is roi, whether it's, right, all these different, and ribbis, and all these things, right, but we know the pashut gets a yerusha when you want to pay back the father, when you want to give the father something and he's dead, you give it to his children. The pashut definitely gets roi, just like he gets something that the father was already muchsak. Hatorah nasna reshus la'av lahanchu l'kol mi sheyirtza. And still, the father gives the right to adjust it and give to whoever, whichever of the children he's interested in giving it to. Bechar shahura kocho, sheinu notel baraka b'muchzak. So Bechar, the pishnayim of Bechar, which he does not collect from Ra'wi, the pishnayim of Bechar is only determined based on what the father was muchzak in b'shas misasa. What the father gets afterwards was only Ra'wi to come to the father afterwards. The Bechar doesn't get the pishnayim of that. So Bechar does not have the koach in pishnayim that a pashut has in the regular Yerusha. So lo kolshkein. Then I would say, well, then obviously, if the father has the right to manipulate the chelek ha-pashut, the Yerusha that a Pashut gets, even though Pashut normally has such a Yifrei Koach, for sure he has the right to manipulate the Chelek HaBechora, because the Chelek HaBechora is generally considered to be weaker. So it's simple Kal V'chomer. Tamalomer, that's why the Pasuk has to say Lo Yuchal Levaker, that no, your rights are limited to the Pashut. Your rights do not extend to the Chelek HaBechora. The right to redistribute the Yerusha amongst your children only goes when you're going to redistribute the pashut, but not when you're going to redistribute the bechora. That you're not allowed to do. That's why we need lo yuchal levaker, even though we already had vayu biyaman chilo. So frak the gemara, the obvious question, v'yomar lo yuchal levaker. So why don't you just say lo yuchal levaker? Matam lo vayu biyaman chilos banav. Why do you need the first phrase in the pasuk? Meaning, we've been assuming until now the first phrase in the pasuk, vayu biyaman chilos banav, that's the source of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. And that's where we see that you can redistribute your Yerusha amongst your children. And therefore, lo yuchal levaker is extra. Okay, now that we know lo yuchal levaker is not extra, why don't we just have lo yuchal levaker? It tells me everything. It tells me that you're not allowed to redistribute the bechor portion. And by deduction, it also tells me, if you're not allowed to redistribute the Bechor portion, it must be that you are allowed to redistribute the Pashut portions. So why not just say Liyuch Levaker? You don't need Vayu Biyaman Chilos Banav. So says Mar Shiachal Valodinu. Because again, I might have thought that I would have said the following Svara. Umma Bechor Shehura Kocho. She'inu Notol Baroika B'muchzak. I would say, wait a second. A Bechor who has a weakened position, he doesn't get Baroika B'muchzak. Amra Torah lo yuchal levaker. I would say, wow, even on a Bechor who has a weakened position, the Torah says you're not allowed to manipulate his portion, not allowed to redistribute his portion. Pashut sheyafa kocho shenotel baroyka b'muchzak. A Pashut who has a greater right in terms of Yerusha, because he even gets baroi, not only a muchzak, lo kolshkein, so all the more so that you shouldn't be allowed to touch it. You should not be allowed to redistribute it. Meaning what it's basically saying is, had we only had the pasuk lo yuchal levaker, we would not have touched it up by saying, oh, lo yuchal levaker, don't redistribute the Bechor's portion, only the Pashut's portion. No, we would have said lo yuchal levaker means, don't redistribute the Bechor's portion, kal v'chomer, you better not touch the Pashut's portion. You can't even touch the Bechor's portion. That's how we would have understood it. That's why we have the pasuk vayu biyaman chilos banav to tell me Torah nasa reshus la'av lahanchil l'kol mi sheyirtza, that the Torah gives the reshus to the father to be manchil to whoever it is that he wants to be manchil. Fine, let's go weiter. Amar Rabbi Zrika, Amar Rabbi Avi, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Amar Le Rabbi Abba, Hora Itmar. He says, no, he didn't just say Halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, it was Hora Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Very important phrase. Hora in general, I'm going to see, the Hora in general means not just that I said in the Beis Medrash what the Halacha is, I gave a Halacha shir and I said that the Halacha is such and such. Hora means that someone came and asked a Shaila and I gave a Hora'a, meaning in Hora'a is a much stronger Lashon and it's associated with Halacha L'maisa. It's associated with actually dealing with the case that that comes up. So the Gemara is going to discuss over here which shows a stronger belief which shows greater koach. The fact that I said in a theoretical shir when I was totally unbiased to any sensitivities or any other factors that may have taken place, just what the strict halacha should be, does that show that that's the stronger belief? Or maybe the fact that I was willing to rely on something l'maisa shows that I must believe that very strongly, right? That's going to be the issue. Says Gemara, b'maka mifli, what are they arguing about? Whether it was Hora or whether it was Halacha. So Mar Savar Halacha Adifa, Mar Savar Maisa Rav. It's a machlokas. What's better? What shows more koach? Halacha or an actual Maisa Rav when something actually happened? In general, the word Hora'a, not only does it have an implication of something being halacha l'maisa, Rashi, Misach Ksubas Dev Zayin, says that Gemara actually, assumes in Ksubas Dev Zayin that Hora'a relates to Heter, that it shouldn't relate to Isser. And the Gemara's Mechadish, at the end of it, that sometimes it relates to Isser. But normally, Hora'a relates to being Matir something, not to Asring something. Why? What's the idea? So Rashi in Ksubas Dav Zayin explains, because Hora implies a great koach. It implies that I really believe something strongly. To say that something's asr, you don't really have to believe it strongly. You just have to not know. When you don't know what to do, so we're cautious. That's the way Jews are supposed to be. We're supposed to be cautious with halacha, right? If we have a suffix, it might be kosher, might not be kosher. So I once asked one of the local rabbanim about hashkacha in a place that doesn't have one. I asked him about whether it's a reliable non-hashkacha, and he said, look, I said, people say it's not really treif. He said, can you go in there without any sveikos, without any doubt in your mind that everything is? If you have to walk in with any sveikos, then it's not good. Then that's by definition we don't do that. If we have a suffix, we're not sure how things are working. Then we don't do that. Either rules suffix darban lekula, suffix daraisa lechumra. That's once you can clarify whatever you can clarify, and then it's left with the machloka shachanta. So who might get involved? So it's a suffix daraisa lechumra, suffix darban lekula. But stam sveikos that you're just not sure what to do. I just don't know. It's machmas chesron yedia because of ignorance. That's not called a suffix. You're not just going to say suffix darban lekula, suffix daraisa lechumra. We're cautious. That's the idea of hora'a. Hora'a is if I'm able to say mutter, then I must really believe it. Because to be machmir, even if I don't know, that's what a Jew is supposed to do. A Jew is supposed to be machmir when he doesn't know what to do. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Ein lemeidin halacha lomi pi limud, lomi pi maisa, ad sheyomer lo halacha lemaisa. You're not supposed to learn a halacha neither from limud, meaning just stam, someone says something in the Beis Medrash, nor even from a maisa shahaya, until someone says halacha lemaisa, this is what is supposed to be done. Until you're told that's the halacha lemaisa, says Rosh Bam in the third word line, v'kivin sheshala yidei maisa v'ein yodim davar, el mashu omer lehem, ein lomer tam chazu beid lo yadu, ubemakom akram, ein lemeidin halacha mitoch mishnah. And also we say you also can't learn from mishnah, goin zesh shekasav mishnah v'halacha kedvarav. Like when the Mishnah says halacha kedvarav, that does not necessarily mean that's really the halacha, he says. And he gives examples. But anyway, this is the rule. You have to wait till someone says halacha l'maisa. Shal v'amla halacha l'maisa, yelech v'yasa maisa, u'bvach l'yidmeh. Now, if you actually ask and you're told halacha l'maisa, this is what to do, so then you can go and rely on what you're told to do, as long as you don't start making demyonos, you don't start making tzushtal. Well, if it applies over here, then it applies over there, so you shouldn't do that. My vach l'yidme, vach kalat harukula dumi medabinila. What do you mean vach l'yidme? That's how learning goes. Learning is what is binyanav mean? Right, the most fundamental element of limud of Gemara is binyanav. Is that if it says it over here, so it must apply over there and over there. So what do you mean b'vach leyidma? So b'vach yachlekam, b'vach leyidma betreifos. No, that b'vach leyidma is dafka din in treifos. The Tanya einom betreifos zu dom lezu. Don't say, well, if that 2 centimeter cut over there is not a treifa, so that 1 centimeter cut in the lung or in the heart must also not be a treifa. No, you can't say that. Val tetame, and don't wonder, well, why not? If the 2 centimeter cut on its foot doesn't make it a treifa, why should the 1 centimeter cut on its lung not make it a treifa? Because very often the 1 centimeter cut in its heart will make it die. The 1 centimeter cut on its foot will not make it die. You don't need to be a great veterinarian to understand this, that different parts of the body are going to cause different reactions, and therefore a person, unless you're really familiar with the biology of an animal and exactly what the halachas of treifas are, you shouldn't be medama milsa la milsa in halachas treifas. Things sometimes seem worse when in fact they're not nearly as bad. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.